Welcome to History in 6, the place where we sample history in 6-minute increments. I'm your host, T. Melendel. Today we're going to talk about the resources that were available to early colonists. Time is short. Let's jump into it. As we have seen, many of these early colonies struggled for survival. They needed resupply ships to keep them afloat. But eventually these colonies began to gain a foothold and quickly began to thrive. Question is why? Well, of all of the Americas, the area the colonists settled was probably the largest tract of land suitable for dense human settlements. The average temperature in New England ranged from the 40s to the 70s. The area had long and warm growing seasons, which is ideal for growing large sums of food. The average rainfall of about 30 to 50 inches was ideal for farming. And these variations of rainfall and temperature were greater than Europe, but they were in the same ballpark. It is somewhat amusing that the English, who were hundreds of years late to the colonization game, got their hands upon the parts of America where Europeans were most likely to flourish. In addition to the climate, New England was one of the most resource-rich areas of the world. In today's world, we don't think about resources for survival because resources are so plentiful. We have grocery stores with food. We have hardware stores to give us stuff that we can build things with. There's general stores for all the supplies we might want or need. But to survive, you need land to grow food. You need materials to build houses, clothes, and equipment. The colonists were limited with what they could bring. They had to rely on what was available in the New World. It turns out that Central North America has some of the best soil in the world for growing crops. The Ice Age glaciers scalped areas and left ample valleys of rich deposits. Only 40% of the land is farmable, but it's the best combo of arable soil, river transportation, and exploitable minerals. The soil makes a remarkable variety of crops possible. Each generation of colonists learned that almost anything can be grown in America. It's one of the reasons there hasn't been a famine in America since the Europeans arrived. The Connecticut Valley proved to be the most fertile strip in New England. The area became extremely rich, bringing colleges, publishing houses, the first quality newspapers in the Americas, made it the center of culture in this new world. And the New Englanders did not waste their time looking for gold like they did in Jamestown. Instead, they grew crops for prosperity. They learned of corn from the Indians, and it became a staple crop for them. It yielded twice as much crop per acre than traditional English crops. And even the stalks could be used as fodder for the animals. It was an ideal, cheap, and easy crop for an infant colony, and why the corn cob became a symbol of American abundance in those early days. The colonists also discovered chestnuts, walnuts, butternuts, beech, hazel, hickory nuts, all in abundance. They were able to grow pumpkins, squash, beans, rice, melons, tomatoes, huckleberries, blackberries, strawberries, black raspberries, cranberries, gooseberries, grapes. Many of these grew in the wild and or were easily cultivated. The wildlife was abundant as well. The big game was deer and bear. The turkey, a Native American bird, became a source of food for the colonists. But it was the small game that proved most valuable. Weasel, sable, badger, skunk, wolverine, mink, otter, beaver, squirrel, rabbit. These furs could be exported at great value. In addition to the land game, there was a wide selection of fish and seafood available. Food was plentiful in the New World. But what about resources that were needed to build houses and equipment? New Englanders marveled at the abundance and quality of the timber. In Western Europe in the 1600s, wood was an increasingly rare and costly material. New Englander Francis Higgins wrote, "We have plenty of fire to warm us. All of Europe is not able to make as great fires as New England. A poor servant here, that is to possess but 50 acres of land, may afford to give more wood for timber and fire as good as the world yields than many noblemen in England can afford to do." With regards to fire, the New Englanders were as wealthy as the noblemen in Europe. Not only was the wood plentiful, but it was varied. Ironically, a man named William Wood, the first American naturalist, explored and cataloged the forest between 1629 and 1632. He published his findings 2 years later in the New England's Prospect. He listed all of the variety of trees available. Virtually all of them could be used for furniture, charcoal, and a multitude of other purposes like tools. He was amazed by the sheer quantity of trees. It has been estimated that forests covered 822 million acres in the early 17th century. That would be about 5.2 billion square feet of saw timber. These are vast numbers. They're really hard to wrap your head around. That's over 1 million square miles of lumber. Early America was a timber civilization growing out of its woodlands, just as Anglo-Saxon England grew out of its early forests. And it's hard to understate how this plentiful bounty makes it possible for these colonies to not only survive, but begin to thrive, creating relatively wealthy people for the time. And it wasn't easy work, but the resources were there for the people who wanted to work to succeed. These early colonists realized it and attributed this vast bounty to God's blessing on them. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.